devo dire che nel no.
Hey everybody, what's going on tonight? A few people I recognize here in the chat today. Liberated Lady, how you doing? Gabe is in the chat. What's going on? Scott Jones, Anthony's in the chat. David, a lot of people. Some of you that I don't see very often, which is kind of cool. A couple things before we get into the show tonight. I want to talk about what we're going to do in the show is talk about this lights out kit that I upgraded, put a battery inside of it, as well as a couple other things about just current events, things that are going on right now. I saw a video from Mark Dice, who I haven't watched any of his stuff in forever. And I just saw it, and he's talking about how the mainstream media is manipulated and things like that. So I thought that would be interesting, as well as all the current events that are going on, the global conflicts, the things going on around the world that just, you know, seems to be just all those bricks just kind of keep adding up. And what I guess the question that I'll pose during this is, what does that mean for us? Because like last week, I talked about things that we can control and things that we can't, and we can't control how these things, what happens and how the strings get pulled and how these things unfold, but we can pay attention to how they affect us and what we can do to prepare for them. So I'm going to talk about those as well. Before we get into the show, though, a couple things I want to get out of the way. One, the bug out location. I'm doing some things. I'm getting ready to put some more things on there. It's really tough with me being the lone, you know, the one person involved with doing the bug out location, doing the podcast, doing the YouTube channel, doing the website, doing the SHTF shop. Really gets kind of hard to pick and choose which direction I'm going. So, and I'm not going to sit here and whine about all this, but I am going to be doing some things over there. For the members of the Bug Out Location, just wanted to let you know, if you're not a member, you can become a member over at thebugoutlocation.net. Also, the private group, I've talked about doing a live, sort of a couple different things. I've talked about doing a movie night where we sort of watch a movie and sort of, you know, talk about some things that happen in that. Those of you that are in the group already know what I'm talking about, which one I'm talking about. I can't say it here on YouTube. Because it's YouTube and the restrictions and all that. I can't stream it on YouTube because I'll get copyrighted and all that, even though it's just a few people hanging out, basically a few people hanging out and watching a movie. Also over there in the group, we're going to be doing I've mentioned before how I'm going to be doing a sort of a meetup where we get on a video chat and talk about just whatever we want to talk about with preparedness, what's going on in the world, what we're doing with preparedness, some challenges we're having, some wins we've had, things like that. So I'm going to be doing that as well here in Kentucky. Goatman, what's going on? Derek, how you doing? And Scott. But I'm going to be doing that here in the near future as well. What I wanted to, I got to pull this website up. I wanted to mention one more thing too. That somebody in the private group has put together. He's, I think it's Bravo Victor is what his name is in the group. And he put together, he's got this website right here, Top Gun Precision. And he's offered everyone, listeners to the podcast, people that are subscribed on YouTube here, anyone that wants it, $100 off on a Harvest Right machine. He's selling these. He does a lot of things on his website. You can use the promo code. I believe it's PrepSir, or the link is the coupon code and everything is in the description below. So you can check that out. If you're listening to this podcast, I'll make sure and have it in the show notes as well. But you can get $100 off on a Harvest Right machine if that's something that you're looking into. He does quite a bit on this website right here if you want to check it out. Rifle builds and Creacote and things like that. So I know he's got his toe dipped in a few different things. And he's a good guy. So make sure if you are interested in that, in a Harvest Right, make sure and check that out. And anything else you want in here, you know, if anything else looks like it might be interesting to you, go ahead and either get a hold of me. I'll let you know how to get a hold of him, or just check out the website. I'm sure you can contact him here on the website as well. Nope, doesn't work quite yet, but I'm sure he'll get that figured out. At any rate, what I want to do is, before we get into This Mark Dice video and then talking about the things that are going on around the world, the Middle East, China, Russia. I mean, just all 100 different directions that this is going. So I want to get into all that, but I want to I made a couple videos, and these are just the rough drafts. I'm going to be uploading these videos later on, but I made a couple videos. One of how I tricked out this, my lights out kit right here, tricked it out. I put a battery in it, basically. This is the battery right here on the side. You can't really see it because the light's in the way, but it's got three plugs right there, and the battery is behind this piece of wood. I've got a video explaining how I put that together, as well as I figured while I'm doing this, I might as well go through what I keep in my lights out kit and get your guys' ideas as well about what, if you keep an actual kit, if you have certain things tucked away in a certain spot to keep them handy, things like that. To each their own. I mean, it's very different. Also with this lights out kit, the way that I put this together in the box right here, this is something, it doesn't necessarily have to be a lights out kit. This could be in a toolbox that you use as your mobile rig for your ham radio. It could be an actual toolbox where if you're on a job site or you're away from a power outlet, this is something you just plug in your phone, listen to the Survivalist Prepper podcast or whatever podcast you listen to, get a light on if it's getting dark and you're still working. I mean, doesn't necessarily need to be a lights out kit. That's just what I chose to do for this one. But let me go ahead and play. I will go ahead and play this video real quick here. Like I said, it's the rough draft. It's, you know, I haven't put any lipstick on this pig yet, so don't judge me for the video quality. But this is how all the different things I did to put this little part together. And then after that, we'll go over what's in the kit itself. Okay, so the first thing I did was put the battery in, and I cut a piece of wood that fit. It was about 10 inches across, because I want to keep the battery separate from everything else inside the kit right there. So the piece of wood is pretty snug, and later on I added some Velcro as well. Then I measured out where I wanted to put this outlet on the front. So I just sort of eyeballed it and made the circles and everything where I was going to cut the holes. And then I also put markers where I was going to screw in the screws. And with these screw holes, I actually pre-drilled these a little bit because it's just a little easier to get the screws in there with the holes pre-drilled. So I just pre-drilled a really tiny hole right there. And then I cut the interior holes. And this was a 1 1/8, I believe. I'll make sure and put that in the description below. And this is where the three-prong outlet will go. After that, I made sure, just cleaned up the outside edges a little bit. You could use a Dremel. I used just a little razor knife right here. Whatever you need to do to just kind of clean up those outside edges. It doesn't matter what it really looks like because it's going to be covered by the faceplate there. So you just want it to be able to sit flush. And then put in the four screws around the outside edges, made sure everything fit nice and snug. One problem I did run into a little bit later was that it was a little bit tough to get those. The holes weren't quite centered, so it was a little tough a little bit to get those plugs in there. But just use a razor or something. You can widen those out. Then you're ready to put in the plugs themselves. And like I said, this could be a tight fit. You might need to just adjust a few things here and there. And this little kit came with all three of the plugs included. So I just, if you need to, take a picture of how the wiring is set up. I unplugged all of the wires in there and made these individual pieces. So there's four pieces total. You've got the three plugs and the outlet. And then you can really put these in any order you want. I put the power switch up on top, and then the USB connectors in the middle, and then the cigarette lighter output on the very bottom there. And then on the back of this, I see these little connectors right here. I'm just making sure those are nice and tight. Everything's going to sit where it's supposed to before I put in the wiring. And once I got those on and they were nice and snug, then I moved to the power input, the AC charging port that I put on the side right here. Now, I used the same size hole saw, and I shouldn't have because it made the hole a little bit too big. But I don't really care about this being waterproof, so it's not a huge issue. But I would use a smaller hole saw for putting on this side AC input, power input right here. And what I ended up doing was just getting some screws with bolts on the inside and it some washers, and it snugged it right down. And as you can see right here, you can see a little bit of light coming through there. That's because that hole is just a little bit too big. Then comes the wiring part of this. And again, if you took a picture, you just plug it in exactly the way it was before. The negatives connect to each other, and then the positives connect to each other with one extra positive wire that will be going to the battery from the cutoff switch, which will completely, it'll save your battery from discharging. If that thing is on all the time, you're going to have to be recharging your battery all the time. So you can turn that off and make sure that doesn't happen. It's also got a 10 amp fuse in here. Then what you do is you take and just measure where, I don't want a bunch of extra wire in there, so I measured them to get them the right length. That end connector right there, I don't need on there either. So just wanted to make sure I have the smallest amount of wire in there as possible. So I measured these and got the right distance. Then use this tool right here to cut off the ends. And this is a cheap little wire cutter from Amazon that you can get. It's just fine for up to, I believe, like 4-gauge wire. Anything bigger than that, you're probably going to need something else, but this is good for 10-gauge wire. Then I've got these strippers right here, again, that I got from Amazon, and it just pops. It's a lot easier than using a razor blade and a lot cleaner. You just throw it in there, clamp it, and it pops it, and it pulls that sheathing off right there. And then you put the protectors on here, sort of a shrink wrap type thing. I'm not sure exactly what they're called, but you put this on there as well as the end, but put these on there before you put the end on. And then you can wrap this and just make sure there's not going to be any shorts or anything like that. Now with these end clips, I wanted to make sure I've got a kit that's got a bunch of different sizes. So I wanted to make sure, one, that it was going to fit on here first before I connected them to the wires. So with that same tool I had that strips them, you can also use it to crimp these wires as well. So what I did was put that little piece in there in the crimping section of it, and then plug the wire into that and squeeze down really hard. There's one part right here that sort of puts a dimple in it, and then there's another part that squeezes the whole thing down on it and makes it nice, tight, and secure. I did this for both of these, and then I just used a lighter for this shrink protective stuff right here. You can use a heat gun, you can use whatever you need. I just used a lighter for this, and it just gives it a nice, good protective cover. That way you're not getting any shorts or anything like that. And this comes with the kit that has these connectors on them. Did the same thing for the second one, same exact process. You crimp it, you put the shrink wrap on it right here, then you're ready to connect everything. You're good to go. Always connect the positive first, just because if there's any sort of, if those wires do touch each other, it's not going to cause any sort of short or anything like that. Once I plugged those in, the AC was ready to, I've got both of them plugged in. So I've got the 3-prong outlet and the AC charger plugged in to the battery itself. And then I just put some Velcro on. I wanted to put some Velcro on to make sure the battery stays firm against the toolbox itself. And then I also, tried to put the wires below that Velcro so they would stay down there as well. They're not popping up through the top. And then I also put a couple pieces of Velcro on the wood because I wanted that wood to stay in place as well. Although it is pretty snug in there, it's not really going to go anywhere. I just wanted that extra security right there. Now, you could drill holes. There's a lot of different methods. This was the simplest method that I wanted to do just to show you guys in this video. I may build an entire box that fits right in there in the future. But for now, this works just fine. So now that that battery is nice and snug in there, everything's good to go. And then the power outlets work. You see the battery right there. Really simple setup. There's enough room in the front there for those cords not to be pushed or touched together. Just a really simple setup. All right. So like I said, really, I mean, anybody can do something like that. It really is that simple. You just get a battery and some of the adapter and things like that. And you can really make like a toolbox that it a lights out kit that just used to stay in our closet, our living room closet all the time. The only time I'd really ever pull it out, I think I've used it once during a power outage, but most of the time it's pulling out, checking batteries and things like that, making sure everything is still charged up. But with this, I could actually use it more often. I think Lisa might get, you know, it might get a little old if this is sitting on the coffee table or the kitchen table for a week or 2 weeks straight, something like that, just so I can charge my iPad or my cell phone or something. But it is more useful. Also with this, that this same process, like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be a lights out kit. I plan on what I want to do is either get another battery, do something that's smaller that I can just leave on the coffee table. Something that is, I couldn't do an ammo box with this one because it was about an inch too tall for an ammo box, the battery itself. So I'll have to build a box itself that will fit on that. But something that's smaller, I could set it on the coffee table, under the coffee table, wherever. I could move that around wherever I needed to and have those outlets if necessary. So again, there's just so many uses for it. Your mobile rig. Ham radio, I mean, just a whole bunch of different things in here. If anybody's got any comments, I know Kentucky Goatman was talking about how he could do something like this. And yeah, it's pretty easy to do. And it's super convenient, especially I'm going to go into what's in this kit and why this stuff is in this kit. But it's just really cool to have when it was more important when the kids were here, because it's something that if the power goes out and you can't see a damn thing, you know where this kit is, and it's in you know, basically 20 feet from the TV, basically. That's where the kids will probably be sitting when everything goes to crap. But and they can get in there, and then they can figure everything out from that point. With me and Lisa, we sort of know a lot of where everything else is, but this is still pretty useful to get in there, and maybe you need a flashlight to get to your other stuff and things like that. So, what I'll do now, I suppose, is I'll get into what's in the kit itself. And I've done a video on this in the past, so this is just the upgraded version of this kit. So let's go ahead and get into, I'll play this video right now, and then we'll get into some of the other stuff that I want to talk about today. But here's the lights out kit.
So I recently upgraded my lights out kit. I put these three little outlets right here and an AC adapter, and I figured I'd show you that. And while I'm doing that, I'll just go through what's in this kit as well. I added this battery right here, which is a 20 amp hour Life PO4 battery. And with this battery in here, I want it to be able to power things and keep this separate. So I put this little piece of wood. I've got the build that I did in another video as well. But I made sure I could power all of this stuff with this. This right here, it's got a switch where it shuts off. That way it doesn't take too much. It doesn't drain the power out. It's got this right here, it's a voltmeter, tells you 13.9, which is fully charged. It should be 13.6 or 13.4. Not sure why that's so high, but this has got two USB 3.0 ports, and it's also got the car cigarette lighter outlet right here. So with those right there, with that car cigarette outlet, I've got this 300 watt pure sine wave inverter. Now with this, this outlet right here is only good for 10 amps, so 120 watts. And when you plug this in right here, it will power this on, but you can't put anything more than 120 watts in here. So if you wanted to, you know, put some tablets or something like that, even though I've got a couple over here, plug a light bulb in, something like that, it's going to work fine with that. And then as far as charging it over here, I've got this small trickle charger right here, which is only 2 amps. So it takes it, you know, for this battery, it's only about 8 hours, but it takes forever. And with this, you just plug it in to the side right there. You would plug this into an outlet to keep this topped off. Every couple months or so, take this out, top it off. So that is nice and convenient right there as well for charging. With this little outlet right here, up here, I've got this this light. This is a Goal Zero light, and basically it's just a small little light. Say you're doing something in front of this lights out kit, you're trying to read something, you could do that with this light right here from this USB port. One thing I don't have in this kit that we used to is instructions. When the kids used to live here, we had instructions on here about where the procedures binder is, which has all the important information about how to use the generator, what to do in certain emergencies, and all of those things, important phone numbers and all of that. But since the kids are gone, it's just me and Lisa, and we're both on the same page with preparedness. It's not as necessary, although I probably should still have something like that in there just in case there's somebody else here and we are not here. So at any rate, you could use this light. Say you have that sheet in there, this light right here, put it on the table and they could read and figure everything out. Got a Sharpie in here. I also have playing cards in here, which in a disaster situation, maybe not the best game to play. talking about doomsday scenarios and disaster scenarios, but in a lights out situation where the power's out for 8 to 10 hours or even just a few hours, this might be something cool because it poses some questions in here and gets people to think. So it may broach that subject of preparedness and get people thinking about it while you're in that situation. So that's why I have those in there. Also in here, I have this headlamp right here, which is a really cool headlamp. It can be moved in different positions. It's got this clip so you can put it on your shirt or wherever, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a headlamp. What I like a lot about this headlamp, it's got a few different modes as well. What I like the most about this headlamp is the rechargeable battery, and this is an 18650 battery. And I've got a few different types of rechargeable batteries in here. I've got these right here, and I've also got these Energizer batteries, which are 123s, I believe they are. And these are basically the same thing as this 18650, just a little bit smaller. This is 2600 amp hours, and these are 2200 amp hours, but they both fit inside this. So there's a backup set of batteries for that. With the charging of the batteries, I have a charger in here, which is another reason why this is such a so nice to have, because this charger right here, any batteries, even though I have a bunch of rechargeable batteries that are fully charged in here, you just never know when you might need to recharge something. So with this charger, I could plug this straight into the USB port right here. Take a couple of these batteries, even though these are probably already charged, throw them in here. Oh, those little ones aren't going to work. So take a couple of these batteries, throw them in here. And if anything needs to be recharged, those will recharge. So that'll work for this right here. It won't work for these. And I've also got this little charger right here, which would work for those as well. It's just a USB charger. This is this one right here is an emergency backup. It would take absolutely forever just to charge two batteries. So this one is much better. So there is that up here on top. I use this kit to store things that I don't want to lose. This is a perfect example of that. So with this pack light right here, this little top part is the light, the flashlight basically. And you turn this on and it's got the little light right there. And then it's got the high right there. Not the greatest, brightest flashlight in the world, but it is pretty convenient and it is pretty small. So I keep this in here. A couple of other batteries, these aren't rechargeable, but they stay in here. This is the cord for the headlamp right here. That way I don't have to necessarily use this. I can just plug that into there. I also have this power bank right here. And this is, I believe it says 25,000 milliamp hours. I don't know about that. It may be pretty close because it is a pretty substantial little unit. It's got four solar panels right here. I've done a review on this in the past. It's decent, but it's not the greatest thing. So if you were to leave this out in the sun for a day, you'll get some juice, but it's definitely not going to refill this pack. But with that, you could take some of the energy from this and put it into this if you needed to, but this will power USB type things as well. So that stays in here. These lighters, I've went back and forth on whether I wanted to keep lighters in here or not, because the last thing I want, especially when the kids were here, is them walking around the house with lighters. But again, this is not only for emergency use stuff, a power outage, but someplace I want to keep things that I just don't want to lose. And we've got lighters all over the place, but I know that, and we've got batteries all over the place, but I know that if I get in here, I'm going to find something. So that's why they stay in here. Now to the contents, a little bit more of the inside stuff right here. I've got this large flashlight, which is 1500 lumens, and this sucker is bright. You take this out back and it lights up the whole area out there. Takes quite a few batteries, but I have quite a few batteries in here. And these are fully charged. That's why I keep this in here. That's why I keep this in here, because I know that if I charge them, they're not gonna get used around the house. They're not. It's gonna be fully charged when I go to use them. So that's why I keep them in here, out of sight, out of mind, basically. I've also got another set of little flashlights right here, little cheap flashlights. These are in here mainly because it's just a place to keep them where they're not going to get lost. So you never know in a whatever type situation how many flashlights you're going to need. I've got them all over the house, but I know that these are right here when I need them. I've also got the crank radio, which the crank is not very effective, but I suppose in an emergency, it would do the trick. With this lights out kit, I've got the ability to charge it right here, and you've got the charging port back here. So the cranking aspect of this, not all that important. It's got the NOAA radio.
Some other observations, Cheyenne Farron 73.
It's got AM and FM radio. It's got the light right here. If you need to use that, it's got the light on the back right here as well. So it's, you know, multi-purpose. And one of those things, if the power is out, the cell phones are out, you're going to want some way to get information. And this, other than ham radio, which most people don't understand how to use, this is going to be the best way to do that. So always have this tucked away in this kit, again, because it's super useful and because I don't want to lose it. I've got this little lantern right here, this Vaunt lantern, and this is good for, you know, when the power's out and you go to the bathroom, you close the door and it's pitch black in there. So this is something kind of cool to just leave in the bathroom. You close it, it turns off, you open it, it turns on. That way, you know, you know what you're doing in there, basically. And again, like I was talking about earlier, the instructions, that would be something I would put in the instructions. Out here, when the power's out, the well's out, which means the plumbing is very limited to what water we have in the pressure tank. So those instructions, when it's brown, flush it down type thing, those would be in there as well. Now this Now light right here is kind of cool, and I was given this to do a review on. It's a neat little light. It's got a bunch of different modes as far as brightness, and I did a video on this in the past. The reason I think this thing is really cool, though, is because it is the best option that I've seen as far as human-generated power to get light. You don't need anything other than just pulling this cord right here. What you do is you put your foot right here, and then you just pull this chain right here, and it generates electricity. Or you can hook it onto a wall, and then you pull that to generate electricity. 5-10 minutes, I can't remember exactly what it is, but 5-10 minutes of pulling gives you an hour or two of light, depending on which setting you have it on. So this is just a very cool light that can be portable, it can be taken around, it can be put somewhere, and it can be regenerated without the need, if this battery goes dead, if all of these are dead, without the need of anything, this light is, with a little bit of muscle, with a little bit of manpower, it's going to work just fine. So this is always stays in here as well. And then the last thing I have in here is this extension cord. And this extension cord isn't going to do much as far as this outlet goes. This is only 120 watts. This is overkill for that type of situation. But, you never know. If you had a lamp that you wanted 50 feet away, I suppose you could use this. This is more for one of those. I put it in here because I know where it is. I know it's brand new. I know it's not going to get damaged. I know it's not used. I know it's going to work and do what I need it to do. So that's why I keep this in here. This could be something that you hook up to the car. You hook up the alternator or the inverter to the car and run something inside to power stuff that is, it's going to take a lot more wattage than what this will put out. But I've also got my larger solar setup, which this would be useful for. But again, this is in here just because I know it's in here. I know it's going to be brand new when I use it, and I know it's going to work. So all in all, that's the whole kit right here. I'd love your guys' comments. If you guys have anything like this, let me know. If you guys have some sort of similar setup, but it's not necessarily in a toolbox or a lights out kit, let me know. But just a cool something that we keep in our closet up here in the living room. And now that I've got this battery on it, it's something that I could pull out even when it's not a power outage. Say I'm just not near an outlet and I need to charge something. I can throw this on there. And it'll be fine. I was going to do a smaller version of this little battery setup right here, like an ammo can. This battery is just a little bit too tall for an ammo can, though. So I've got to figure out, maybe I'll make my own box like I did with this piece of wood. I'll just make a whole box and make it look decent. Because when you sit, if I were to set this whole thing on the coffee table, this whole toolbox, I don't know that Lisa would like that too much. But if it was something smaller that I could maybe slide under it when I wasn't using it and I could just use it for these, I think it would be fantastic. So I may get another one of these 20 amp hour batteries and make a smaller box, something that could be used around the house, not necessarily just for a disaster. But
all right, so that's the kit right there. I mean, cool. I'm a big fan of the kits because it just helps me stay organized and things like that, whether it's a lights out kit, whether it's, everything, it makes it a whole lot easier when something's got a home and I know where everything is. The same thing with the bug out bags and the get home bags and all those different things. It just makes it a whole lot easier. And the power outage scenario is part of just about every disaster scenario we can think of. So that is something that's really important, as well as the important documents binders, the procedures binder. If you've got a family that is not on board with prepping, you've got children, a procedures binder is super important. How to, where the cords are for the generator, how to start the generator, where the fuel is, all those different things they might need to know if something happens and you're not there. With that, I got a couple comments that I saw here while I was playing that video, and I wanted to show them right here. First off, Master Canine Trainer said, I learned about portable power from Stephen Harris and told my father, and he was helped several people, how he's helped several people in Puerto Rico to set up panels after Hurricane Maria. Oh, your father has helped several people. That's cool. Stephen Harris, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I used to, back when I used to listen to the Survival Podcast with Jack Spirko, Stephen Harris was on a couple times. And then I think his Master Canine, if is his website like 123 Batteries or something like that? But he was, back then when I listened to it, it was like he was speaking a different language, unless he was talking about just hooking up an inverter to your car battery and getting electricity that way. That was that something like that is super simple and really easy. But once he started talking about the whole, the solar setup and all that stuff, it gets a little bit harder. Master Canine Trader said, yeah, that's it. He's got several websites. Yeah, yeah. Really knows his stuff, though. I wanted to bring that up because Stephen Harris, if you are looking to some of this preparedness related alternative energy thing, Stephen Harris is a great guy to go to or check out. Kentucky Goatman said, Survivalist Prepper, what's the crank radio called? The crank radio is a Voyager crank radio, and it is something that Let me see if I can remove that comment. I'll have to wait here. But it's something that I think it was Camping and Survival Supply. I can't remember the name of the website. Camping Supply, something like that. You can also go on Amazon and just type in Voyager Crank Radio, and you can find them there. Decent little radio. Not the highest quality radio, but something that I put in a kit. It's going to work out just fine. And also, Gabe said in the chat, I like the charge percentage chart on the bottom of the lid. And I forgot to mention that. Let me see. Oh, this picture doesn't have it on there. I forgot to mention that in the video, that with the charge percentage on the battery, the little three-prong output thing that I have, it says the voltage of the battery. Most people are not going to understand what the hell that even means. 13.4, you know, what is that? What's the difference between 13.4 and 12.3? Most people aren't going to understand that. So I put a chart on the lid, just taped a chart up there that tells you how charged the battery is when it says 13.1, 13.4, 12.6, exactly how charged that battery is. So they'll know when they need to charge it or not. So I should have put that. Maybe when I do the actual video, I'll put that in the chart as well. So just kind of a cool kit. It's something that it's really useful to have when you need it, something you just grab, pull it out, and you're good to go, at least to get around to the other things that you need. The power out goes out around here 3-4 times a year, usually for just a few hours or so. A couple times it's been longer than that. But it really becomes a challenge going to the bathroom and doing things like that, getting around the house. You go into the bathroom, you shut the door, it's completely pitch dark. You've either got your phone or a flashlight or something. So it's nice and convenient to have things like this all put in one spot, and you know exactly where they are. You know they're not going to be used. The batteries aren't going to be dead. The kids aren't taking the little portable chargers and using them for their, hiding them in their room for their cell phones and things like that. Then when you go to use it, it's dead. All this is right in there. So just a cool little kit that right there. I'm trying to read some of the comments here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move on to this next. I want to play a little bit of this Mark Dice video before we go too long here. And I this is less about what you think about Mark Dice. I think he kind of fell off the radio. I think Steven Crowder took his seat at the table, and he kind of fell off the radar because I haven't heard or seen of him in a while. Sort of like, I think, the time of Alex Jones, and when everybody got, you know, chastised, the witch hunt of whenever that was. But I haven't heard from him in a while, but he's talking about Project Mockingjay. And I wanted to go over this a little bit here. Let me see if I can get that comment off there. There we go. Project Mockingjay, I think I pulled up this article because I think it's pretty funny from Medium. The way they start off this, talking about it as a conspiracy theory, and the way they phrase it is actually absolutely a conspiracy theory. They say here, with regards to conspiracy theorists on both sides of the political spectrum, lies a common conspiracy that the CIA controls the mainstream media in the United States. Now, that in itself, the CIA does not control the mainstream media. And I think we all sort of know that. But at the same time, these alphabet agencies have a lot of sway, and we've seen it time and time and time and time again. And Operation Mockingjay, I'm going to play a little bit of this video from Mark Dice, and he goes through what it was. But basically, it's the same thing we're seeing these days, just a whole lot different. So while Operation Mockingjay or Project Mockingjay, whatever it was called, may not be a thing and was done away with in the 70s, the same type of thing is happening. Maybe different tactics these days. You've seen it with the Twitter files. You know it goes on through mainstream media. You know it still continues to happen. You saw when they had their thought police, that little organization they put together with that one crazy chick, that didn't last long because it got too public. So that went away. But do you think that all the things that they were doing went away? Highly doubtful. So just because this was 50, 60 years ago, and the tactics they used and the things that they did, they're not doing them anymore. The game has changed, and the chess pieces, they've moved the chess pieces around the table, and they are doing what they can. So I want to play just a little bit of this video right here of Mark Dice. Let me put this on full screen. I'll play the first couple minutes, and then I'll play the last couple minutes. But here he is talking about Operation Mockingjay.
No discussion about mainstream media manipulation or fake news would be complete without a full understanding of Operation Mockingbird, which was discovered during a 1975 congressional hearing that found the CIA was spending $1 billion a year in 2021 dollars adjusted for inflation in under-the-table bribes to American news outlets, editors, and reporters in exchange for their covert cooperation to act as government mouthpieces to spread propaganda and act as gatekeepers to make sure that certain information doesn't get any coverage. The congressional committee called the Church Committee, named after Senator Frank Church of Idaho, revealed that, quote, "The CIA currently maintains a network of several hundred individuals around the world who provide intelligence for the CIA and at times attempt to influence opinion through the use of covert propaganda. These individuals provide the CIA with direct access to a large number of newspapers and periodicals, scores of press services and news agencies, radio and television stations, commercial book publishers, and other foreign media outlets." After the Church Committee's report was completed, Rolling Stone magazine published an article written by Carl Bernstein, hot off his Watergate fame, naming some of the prominent journalists involved with Operation Mockingbird, who worked for the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, Time Magazine, the New York Herald Tribune, Miami News, and a whole bunch of other outlets. Shortly after these revelations, the former president of CBS, Sid Mickelson, was asked if the CIA still worked with reporters, and here's his answer.
Would you say that continues today?
Yeah, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
So I think that right there, I wanted to pause that right there because I think that's interesting, where he talks about how the media has to be a little bit more leery about how they do things. And also Kevin in the chat brought to my attention, I keep saying Mockingjay. He actually texted me here and it's actually Mockingbird. So the 15 times, and I've got it written down as Mockingjay too. That's probably why I said that. So, but it is actually Mockingbird, Project Mockingbird. But it's interesting that that guy, and this was back in the 70s, 60s, whenever it was, but he was saying that, yes, it's still going on, but the reporters and the people in there have to be just a little bit more cautious because they don't want to be looked at badly. So they've got to be careful about what information they're putting out or how they're putting out. I think that's pretty interesting. When you look at how the mainstream media acts these days, and the things they cover, the things they don't, to me, anyway, it's sort of obvious that some of this stuff is going on. You saw it with the Twitter files, how it was the files came out and it showed how the FBI and all these people were actually working with these social media outlets. And you know what's going on with Google. You know, every time something big comes up, you see it happening, whether you're talking about the pandemic, whether you're talking about the things going on overseas. When something needs to get hushed, you see this coordinated effort to sort of restrict that narrative to make sure that none of this other information is getting out, which I'm sort of surprised at this point. And maybe it sort of is with the things going on over in the Middle East with Israel, which is something I'm going to get into in a little bit too. Hey, All American Prepper, what's going on? Yeah, he says the mainstream media is nothing but mainstream propaganda. Yeah, and I don't pay attention. I don't watch any of it anymore. I don't care if it's Fox News. I don't care CNN. I don't, even if it's, you know, we'll watch the local news in the morning and that's about it. With all the, I think what kills these people these days is back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it was easy to sort of control the flow of information if you had control of the New York Times, of these ABCs and NBCs. If you could sort of push them, not control them, but push them in a certain direction and, you know, lining pockets and all the money changing hands, all these things go into this. if you can sort of push them in that direction. It was a lot easier back then. These days, with the internet, the fire hose is open and it's a lot harder to control. So the way they're doing that is talking about disinformation here, disinformation there. And, you know, honestly, the biggest purveyors of disinformation through the last 4 or 5 years are these people that are attempting to fight it. And the people that are shouting from the rooftops about how everybody's getting radicalized and this and that and all these things. I don't want to go too deep in this because this is YouTube. But Kanzi said here, people need to deprogram from all the fear that's been jabbed into them. Yeah. That was a nice. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you 100%, Kanzi. Yeah. And that's all it is. It's pushing that sort of narrative, that propaganda. And he was talking about in here how this Project Mockingbird is supposed to be, it's sort of the same thing these days. It's supposed to be used, the FISA courts and all that, for overseas, you know, our enemies across overseas and all that. And we've seen time and time again how it gets used against the American people. This was sort of the catalyst or the first time this actually came out. And it's interesting that back then, reporters used to be actual reporters. I'm going to go towards the end of this video and just to play the end of it here and let you know what he says about this, and then we'll move on from this.
CIA over what would be said. In other words, it was a whitewash. Just another limited hangout with some damning information, but as usual, the full truth would remain hidden. Most people are completely unaware of the Church Committee today, and if they were told about Operation Mockingbird, would just think that it's a conspiracy theory. But as one unnamed senator quoted in Carl Bernstein's Rolling Stone story says, from the CIA's standpoint, this was the highest, most sensitive covert program of all. It was a much larger part of the operational system than has been indicated. During the early years of the Iraq War, the U.S. military secretly paid Iraqi newspapers to publish stories written by U.S. soldiers while claiming that they were written by Iraqis who supported the U.S. invasion. Of course, most of the American mainstream media parroted the fear-mongering false claims of the Bush administration about the supposed threat posed by Saddam Hussein and his non-existent weapons of mass destruction. Anyone with an ounce of common sense knows that Operation Mockingbird type of activities continue to this day, despite the claim by the CIA that they ended the program after it was exposed back in the 1970s. Oh, and by the way, CNN's Anderson Cooper interned with the CIA for not one, but two summers when he was in college. But when this was reported 20 years later, he claimed that he decided not to pursue a career with them, and even though he had no training at all or experience as a journalist, quickly became one of the faces of CNN and one of America's biggest liars. And I'm sure that that's all just a coincidence. There's so much more that you should know, so order my book, The Truth.
All right, so I didn't know that about Anderson Cooper either, but it makes total sense. And you look at CNN, they've got all these three-letter alphabet agency dudes on their show, Brennan and Clapper and all these guys that are willing to push that the official quote-unquote narrative and all that stuff. So it's just really interesting. And he talked about the Iraq War. That was, you know, a big one. Weapons of mass destruction, right? The mainstream media, for whatever reason, bought it hook, line, and sinker. And then you can look at, I'm not going to name anything right now, but sort of like what Kanzi was talking about earlier, you can look at three or four different situations that just have happened in the last couple of years. And you can see that same type of thing going on. So that's why people like Mark Dice, people like, Glenn Beck, all these media personalities that aren't part of the mainstream infrastructure, that's why those people are so important, because they're going to give you an unfiltered look at or their opinion on these different things. And it doesn't mean they're correct all the time, but it's not the corporate talking point. It's not the everyone's got their little sheet of what exactly they can and can't say, whether it's controlled by the government or not. They all seem to sort of have the same exact talking points. So, Nate, what's going on? Nate's here in the chat. So it's just it It just because, and I haven't heard about Project Mockingbird. I don't know if I said Mockingjay again, but I haven't heard much about it recently. I know back in the Alex Jones days and things like that, there were they talked about it quite a bit and goes into a lot more detail than this. I've got the link to the article that I shared from medium.com. Take it for what it's worth there. You can look it up. Although with if you use Google to search for things, you're going to get the, and don't look at Wikipedia either. I looked at Wikipedia and that is completely whitewashed and it's cleaned up and everything on Wikipedia. I don't trust a damn thing that Wikipedia says about anything that I feel like is important. But just really interesting that that's sort of the story we get told. And I think with this stuff that's going on in Israel right now, it is sort of the same situation, although it doesn't seem like they are squeezing the clamps down as much on this situation as the one they are in Europe. And maybe that's because we're not so, heavily involved behind the scenes over there. But you aren't getting a whole lot from the mainstream media about this. Even when I watch in the mornings, like I said, I don't watch Fox. I could care less what they have to say. I don't watch CNN, any of those people. But you're getting sort of a toned down, not taking one side or the other kind of situation. And then you've got Biden going over there. Who knows where all of this leads? And that sort of gets me to where I want to go next. But with me, without these personalities that are on YouTube, that are on Rumble, that are on Twitter, without these people talking about these things, the people that are they're trying to actually get them shut down and quieted because of disinformation, misinformation, all that stuff. Without these people, you wouldn't know any about that stuff. Without Twitter, I see a lot of stuff on Twitter, and there's a lot of it that is just BS. But there's a lot that makes you think and a lot that makes you question different things and makes you research different things. So without that, it'd be sort of the same thing that it was back in the 70s when Mockingbird was in play, Project Mockingbird was in play, where it was really easy to control things. You get a couple people embedded in the media and then you can, it makes it a whole lot easier to sort of pull the strings and get things done. Whereas these days, like I said earlier, that fire hose is open and, who knows? It's a lot harder for them to control that information, which means they've got to do bigger things as far as censorship and things like that. And things that Americans and even people in England and things like that, places like that, don't look too kindly on. But that's... they're going to continue to do that until they can control the narrative because they don't like having to answer the question. So with that, I saw this the other day and I wanted to, let me see if I can share this tab. I wanted to get into this because I posted this in the group the other day and a friend, Justin, I believe his name was, a friend, a listener to the show. So if you're listening, Justin, thank you for this. He was talking about how the Strategic Posture Committee put a report out that the U.S., and this was before the things going on in the Middle East. So he put, there's this article on this Strategic Posture Commission put out this report that says the U.S. must be ready for simultaneous wars with China and Russia. And this report, I've got the link to it below. This is like 160 pages of what their recommendations and all that were. And they're basically, when you read the first part of this report, and I'm not going to go through a whole lot of this, but it basically reads like a budget for the military industrial complex. It's saying we need this, we need that, we need this, we need all sorts of different things to make sure we're ready for this two-pronged war that we might face. And I think it's pretty interesting. This was, I don't know how many months ago that this was done. This article was written in August, so it wasn't that long ago. But I think it's pretty interesting that before this, they were talking about that. And now you look at things, how they are or how they could possibly unfold in the Middle East. You've got the China-Taiwan thing. You've got the Ukraine thing. Who knows how that's going to end up playing out, which, people have been sort of silent about that now that this is going on, although Biden still wants to send a bunch of money over there. And then you've got three different things setting up right here. And I know a few times I've talked about how all this talk about World War III just sort of gets, you know, it just gets overwhelming sometimes, especially some of these YouTube channels and other podcasts that just talk about it day in and day out. Another one. I do think it's pretty concerning at this point how everything seems to be sort of unfolding and how all the pieces seem to be getting put into place and how, you know, we talk about the three-letter alphabet agencies and how they've been looking inside at, you know, these dangerous, half the country is the most dangerous threat we face right now. Meanwhile, the world is on fire and things could erupt really quickly. And it does have me concerned about where does this go? The Middle East, those, the people out there, that is the most, I suppose, that you know, China's not going to do a whole lot without being strategic about it because of the economic reasons and things like that. You know what Russia is going to do. You know what Europe is going to do. But the Middle East, that's the wild card, I think, in all this, because there's so much hatred on all the different sides for this that you just don't know how big that gets and what that evolves into with these, you know, the situation. All you got to do is, you know, the situation with Hamas, they could have been taken care of a long time ago and should have been taken care of a long time ago. But they were allowed to, for one reason or another, to continue doing what they're doing. But if this evolves into a bigger thing, what does that mean for other countries getting involved? What does that mean for Iran getting involved? And how much are we going to get involved? I saw the other day an article about how some troops are being put on the ready, 2,000 troops or so to be put on the ready to be sent out to the Middle East. And a gun pilot in the group was talking about how this is just like a standing order. They're just getting told, hey, man, you're first up if something happens. So, which is not we're sending troops out there, but it is concerning that it is to the point where they feel like it's necessary to say, hey, you know what, we better put some things in place because this could blow up. And so this two-prong war, my whole point with this is this two-prong war, you're looking at something that could possibly, and who knows how all of this stuff plays out, could possibly turn into that, maybe even, you know, a three-prong war that maybe even evolves into a World War III type of situation where people are just sort of, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And we've got a lot of enemies out there. So it could evolve into something big like that. Liberated Lady. She said I heard that too. Okay. But that, you know, thinking about all of these things, and like I was talking about last week, with what can we do or what should we be paying attention to with all this? And with me, there's nothing we can do about whether, you know, Israel, if they just completely level Gaza, which I personally, I mean, I hate the fact that the Palestinian people are in there, but I think that's something that, you know, probably should happen, you know. That's it. I'm not even going to get into all the BS about that stuff. Hamas is freaking evil and they deserve what they're going to get. But it's something that should have and could have been taken care of. But for me, that situation isn't directly going to affect me. The situation in Ukraine isn't directly affecting me as far as what's going on out there. Now, it is, you know, maybe we've got the inflation and things like that are directly affecting me. What happens in 5 or 10 years from now, 5 years from now, when the bills come due for all the money that's being put out there? How much money is going to, I know they just signed a $100 billion package or something to throw money across the globe to all these people. What is that going to lead? What is that going to lead to that is going to affect me as far as tax hikes and things like that? Those are the things that I'm worried about. Throwing all this money around, this willy-nilly spending and doing things like that, how is that going to affect me as far as the inflation and those? So that's why I am concerned about this. I don't necessarily think we're going to see boots on the ground here in the United States. Who knows? I don't know. I don't necessarily think that it means that nukes are going to start flying or anything like that, at least for the time being, which is pretty interesting when, and this is sort of a side topic, but I noticed the other day, about a week ago, anytime these conflicts start building up and people start getting worried, I have an article over at my website. It talked about preparing for a nuclear attack, and I forgot to put it in the show notes. I'll do it for the podcast. But anytime situations like this happen, that article starts spiking and gets all this attention. And that's exactly what's happening right now. So there is, and that's just one metric. I mean, that's just what I'm seeing, but there is concern about from average people and from a lot more people about this type of situation happening. And when I get those spikes on that article, it is not the preppers. It is not the people that listen to this show. It is people that are Googling something and looking for those articles about that stuff. So it is those people that are sort of, they're worried about it, but they're not necessarily into preparedness like we are. So I think that is, it's always pretty interesting to me. You can tell when things start picking up. Same thing happened when Trump got elected or right before Trump got elected. And then right after Trump got elected, same type of thing. Just it went through the roof because you can tell, I can tell when that happens where people are really frustrated. So I think it is something that we should be concerned about. And I think unfortunately, there's a lot of things that we need to be concerned about with what the powers that be are doing, the games they're playing. Like you look at the people in the Palestinians, they're pawns. They're just pieces that just could be swept off the board. And these power players are making these moves and doing these things. Hamas, Israel, United States, all these people. Same thing in Europe. It's the people there are just. They're pawns. They're irrelevant to the game that the big boys are playing. And this game is intentionally being played all the time throughout history. And we think, if you look back 10 years ago, you would think that a lot of people had this idea that, oh, everything's ramping down. We're starting to figure it out that we don't need to go to war with this person, this country and that country. But you look at the way things are these days, and it is, I don't, in my lifetime, I've never been through a situation that seemed like it was this dire. I remember when I was younger in my teenage years, you got the first Iraq war. That was, for me as a civilian, sitting here watching it on TV, that was almost a broadcast of a conflict. And it wasn't really something I considered a war because we went over there and just annihilated them really quick. So All American Prepper brought up a good point as well. And this is something that has me concerned also is he talked about prepare for sleeper cells. You've got our southern border that is wide open. You've got politicians and all these people here that are sympathetic. And it's really frustrating. Angry American the other day Angry Prepper was in New York City at one of these protests where you've got people, you've got it happening in universities as well. People taking that side. And it really shows, and people are showing their true colors right now. I'll just put it that way, where they are. But you look at the southern border, like All American Prepper was talking about, and who could be coming through that? Because we really have no idea. There's, it's like putting you've got one little gate where, yeah, you can tell who's coming through that gate and you can turn some people away. But who knows where all the rest is coming through and who knows who those people are. You would have asked me a week or two ago, I'd have talked, and Michael Yan, I believe is his name. I watch him on Twitter a lot. He's talking about how Chinese coming through the border. These days, I mean, who knows, with the Middle East and their hatred for America in the first place, you don't think that is a real danger, terrorist attacks going on here and there. Now, for me personally, I don't know about how much, like 9/11 was horrific, but that didn't affect me personally. I don't know if there are terrorist attacks going on here, it would piss me off, but it wouldn't affect me personally unless I was in one of those. It wouldn't be coming out here is what I'm saying to blow some things up. Hopefully I'll be ready if they are, but I'll fight my damnedest. But we do need to be concerned about that because that could be part of the escalation as well. So we may not see boots on the ground. We may not see bombs flying or anything like that, but we could see things like that going on and really wreaking havoc here in the United States. And they wouldn't have to have some sort of invading force, militaristically anyway, some sort of invading force to come take ground and capture, maybe California first. They wouldn't have to do that. Kanzi said here in the chat, tons of illegals and terrorists are coming from Canada. They get a lot of training in Canada. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if they get a lot of training down here as well. But yeah, I think that is something that we need to look at also is those people coming in and those types of situation, that terrorist acts, those types of things. I think we're going to see, and this is just my feeling on it, it's not a prediction or anything like that, but I think we are going to see some of those ramping up, especially if the situation in the Middle East escalates more than even than we think it's going to. Tiger said, Canada. Yeah, it's Chimerica now these days too. You look at the media and it just everything is as much as a lot of these politicians will warn us about China this and China that. China is embedded in our culture. From TikTok to Hollywood, I was watching, this is totally off subject, but I was watching The Meg with Lisa the other day. She loved the first Meg movie. I thought it was a little bit ridiculous, but you watch The Meg 2 and you see, I mean, that was made for China. They didn't even put subtitles when they started talking Chinese in that movie. There were two basic heroes. One was Chinese, one was American. So it's all embedded and intertwined and all of that. So it is what it is these days. And we just need to be sort of alert about it, not, you know, asleep at the wheel like 90% of the population is. I think that is the biggest thing that we can do as far as preparedness is concerned to get ourselves ready is not be asleep at the wheel. Pay attention to what things are going, the things that are going on. Pay attention to how they are escalating and pay attention to how they could affect us. And also pay attention, like I was talking about earlier, what is this going to look like in 5 years from now? And I sort of went into this earlier or in last week's show when I was talking about that article from Zero Hedge about assumptions that he's making about what his future is going to look like. But what is it going to look like in 5 years from now? And that is the reason for some of the things that I'm doing right now. That is the reason for a lot of things we do in preparedness. The reason we research alternative energy. The reason we try to learn about gardening and being self-sufficient and doing those things because we just never know when all of that is, all the conveniences are going to be taken away from us. And it seems like, and I know I say this all the time and I hate to be that alarmist or whatever, but it seems like since I've been doing this in preparedness for, you know, 10 plus years or so, it seems like this is, and I've said this a few times as well, but this seems like this is the highest my alert's been ever doing this because I really feel like we honestly could wake up tomorrow and something big happened that could be the catalyst to something even bigger. And in just a month or so, we could be knee deep in a bunch of crap. So whereas 5-10 years ago, that was always a possibility, but I didn't have the same urgency that I do have now with the things that are going on because it seems like the administration of Washington is asleep at the wheel. They don't really care, or maybe they do care, and it just doesn't coincide with what we care about. And this is going direct according to plan. But it just seems like decisions that are being made are not in our best interest, whether it's intentional or not. And I think we need to be ready to be those, you know, those ants that just get stepped on at some point because we honestly don't matter, just like the Palestinians don't matter. Just, and I'm not talking about Hamas either. Don't shoot me. Just like Palestinians don't matter, just like the Ukrainian people don't matter. None of that matters. The American people, we get told we matter, and that's only because we need to elect these yahoos. But when it all comes down to it, we really don't matter. When, you know, look, ask the people in Hawaii how much they matter. Right now, Jammer said, really feels like we are all doing the right thing. Yeah. And I tell you what, I'm dead serious about the article and everything. I think a lot of people are feeling the same way. And it is kind of cool how preparedness has sort of evolved from this doomsdayer mentality, even though that's what we're talking about right here, to a more of a, and I'm glad for it too. And I'm glad to say I've been part of this, this whole evolution of preparedness, I suppose, where it's more inclusive with everybody. I don't care if you're preparing for a week. I don't care if you're preparing for a month. It doesn't have to be 10 years worth of stuff. You don't have to have a bunker and a mag group and all these different things. Fantastic if you do, but that you don't have to become better prepared. So I think it's people opening their eyes. That is the main thing. And I think it was Scott that talked about this last week in his suggestion for beginning preppers, having your eyes open to the things that are really going on and not having your head in the sand is the biggest thing that you can do as far as preparedness, because at that point, you're going to start seeing the importance, just like Jammer was talking about. You're going to start seeing the importance of all of this stuff, and you're going to do a little bit, whatever your budget allows, whatever you can. You're going to start doing those things and getting, you know, getting ready if something does happen. And if nothing does come with this, from this, you know, there have been plenty of times throughout history that things have gotten really bad, but there have also been plenty of times where it looked like, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis and all that, it looked like it was going to go there, but then it just tailed off and it went away. Maybe that's what happens as well. I'm not holding my breath on that, but maybe it does. And the things that I've done, or the things that we are doing, Lisa and I are doing right now, are only going to help. If nothing happens at all, then I'm going to have plenty of meat stored. I'm going to have plenty of stuff ready for the next round when I start to feel that urgency. So it's not like it's hurting me becoming more prepared. I'm not maxing out credit cards. I'm not doing things like that. So trying to become more self-sufficient, learning about the gardening and learning about all these things is not something that is going to, you know, just completely... You know, depending on how into it you get and depending on how your spouse is with it, it may cause some conflicts there. But that's you know, that's on a personal level how you deal with situations like that. Like Kanzi said earlier, lucky man to have his wife a partner in preparedness. And I know there's quite a few of us that have those, but there are probably more husbands or wives out there that are doing this on their own and don't necessarily have the buy-in from their spouse. The kids rarely will buy in because kids are kids. They're just going to do what kids do. Sometimes you'll get lucky, like Sarah Hathaway. She's got her kids that buy in, which is fantastic. Our kids, I've mentioned this a few times too. Two kids. One kid wanted nothing to do with it, made fun of me. The other one was sort of apoplectic about it. Another one was sort of kind of like, cool. And then my son is one of those completely on board with it. So it really depends on the kid. But for the most part, you can just count on the fact that they're at that age, they're not going to buy into it a whole lot, not as much as you do. But hopefully as they get older, that's when they start buying into all this stuff. So with that, I think, you know, just... control what you can control. Same thing we talked about last week. Pay attention to all this stuff because it really does feel like there's something that could be coming down the pipe. And these yahoos, it could be all going according to their plan. But who's to say that you know, their plan is for this and this and this to happen, but somebody disrupts their plans and it all just goes sideways. And maybe their plan is for it to go sideways anyway, but it goes sideways from there sideways, if that makes any sense at all. So it just could be very interesting these coming years, coming months and things like that. So just do what you can to get more prepared. So, At any rate, I think I'm done here. I'm trying to look through the comments. If I'll give it a minute or two, if anybody has something they want to bring up, put it in the comment section, before we get out of here. But looking through these here, All American Prepper said here, just one extra can of food is better than nothing. Prepare to the best of your ability. Yeah. And I completely agree with that. Whatever you can do, I forget who it was. I think it was Carla that said it in the comments last week. Just one extra can here and there, one extra, you know, you look back. This is what I tell people at the bug out location all the time too. Do what you can right now. Don't stress out about it. Get what you can. Don't worry about the things that you can't. And then you'll look back a year from now and you'll look at all the stuff that you have and how much you've done. And you'd be like, holy crap, I am an actual prepper now. I'm actually doing this more than I thought I was doing this. So very good point. Tiger said, water, water, water. And I absolutely, every chance I get, that's why I pulled this comment up, every chance I get, I want to mention the fact that water is the most important thing. And it is also one of the hardest things to get the amount of water that we're going to need. Sometimes, depending on your situation, impossible to get the amount you're going to need. If you're talking about something that even just lasts a month or longer. A month or longer with no water source, you know, sort of like what they're going through in Gaza right now, the Gaza Strip, a month or so without water, it doesn't matter how much food you have stored. It doesn't matter. All these other things don't matter because you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have to go put yourself in danger to either go find that water or do whatever if you don't have that water with you. And sometimes that just isn't an option. You can't, if you live in an apartment or a small home, something like that, you're not storing 400 or 500 gallons of water. It's just not going to happen. So you've got to figure that out. Wow. Well, the chat went crazy on me. RD said, buy spam. It'll survive a nuke. Yeah, spam is, we don't eat a lot of spam. It is one of those things that every once in a while, it's kind of cool because, it's super salty and all that stuff. I'll bet you Kevin in the chat probably doesn't eat spam very much. But it is good every once in a while to have that. But I can't imagine having to eat spam for even just 3 days straight. Just spam. That would get, I don't know. I mean, there's a few different ways you can cook it, but I think that would get pretty old right there. So, Kaylin said here, I live in a small apartment, so I can't store a lot of water. And still have room for food. Yeah, that is the trick right there, right? You've got to balance these things out. Tiger said, I live in a desert. You'd die without water any place you live. But back to Kaylin's comment, you've got to balance these things out. And you can only do what you can do. You hear people talking about all the time how you got to move out to the boonies. Well, that's not feasible for a lot of people as well. You got to work. You got to pay the bills. And living out in the boonies and driving an hour and a half to work, probably not going to work out for you. If you've only got so much room, you've got to have food storage. You've got to have water storage. I mean, there's so much that's involved with all this. You can only do what you can do. And then I think the point after that is you've got to figure out what your alternatives are or what your options are past that point. Whether that, you know, if finances allow for it, maybe getting a storage locker or doing something like that. That's where you sort of have to think outside the box with this. But at some point, you've also got to be just okay with it. You say, hey, this is what I can do. And hopefully things don't get to the point where I'm going to be hosed, but this is what I can do. And this is all that I can do. Health conditions and things like that also play a factor in it where there's only so much you can do. And if you can make your situation better, you know, do that, by whatever means necessary, get that done. But at the same time, don't make yourself less prepared by going into debt and doing things that, because I honestly feel like the economic factor is going to be a big one coming up here in the future. So by going into debt, you're not doing yourself any favors because as long as they can, they will come after the money. They will come after your home. They will come after your belongings. They will do whatever they have to get that stuff back. So getting out of debt, I think, is one of those big ones as far as preparedness. Which is sort of off topic about what Kaylee was talking about, but it is do what you can do with the things that you have. David was also talking about in here. He said Walmart sells the stackable 2.5 gallon jugs for storage. I've got a video I'm going to do. I sell legacy food storage stuff over at the shtfshop.com, and they've got water boxes or water jugs that I'm going to be doing a review on too, which are, I've already pulled them out and played with them. They're thicker than the ones, and I think the ones that I'm talking about are the 5 gallon jugs, not the one that David was talking about. But the 5 gallon jugs are really cheap camping ones, really thin plastic, like twice as thick as a milk jug, where these legacy ones are probably five times as thick as a milk jug. I don't think those are the ones David was talking about, the stackable ones, but there's a lot of different options. When you live in a small place like Kaylee does, you've got to sort of be You've got, if you have space under your bed, you got to sort of be ingenuitive about all this stuff. You got space under your bed. If you got closet space at the bottom of your closet that you can, you know, fill up and things like that, you got to, and I've done a video on this in the past. This is the last thing, and then I'm going to get out of here. We've got in our kitchen cabinets are really deep. They're probably 2.5 feet deep. So what I've done is some of the Augustin forms that we've had, I push those back there. One, it gives me a little extra storage space down here. And two, I can't stuff things so far back that they just get pushed back there. And 3 years later, I'm cleaning out the cupboards and then I'm finding this junk, which also can lead to bugs and things like that. So, yeah, you got to figure out what you can do. And that's all you can do with all of this different stuff. So with that, I appreciate everybody. We're about 1:20 right now, so I am going to get out of here tonight. Fun show tonight. I appreciate everyone in the chat. One more comment here from Jammer. FEMA will come for your food because they know, because we all know they ain't prepared. And you know what? I'll tell you what, that's no joke. And there are laws on the books. I said I was going to get out of here, but I have to say this. There are laws on the books that make it perfectly legal in emergency situations for them to come take your crap. Does that mean they will? Who knows? It would have to get pretty bad, but there are laws on the book where they absolutely can. Never say never, I suppose, when it comes to that stuff. That type of stuff. So at any rate, everyone in the chat, I appreciate y'all joining in, the regulars and a few people that I haven't seen here every week. I appreciate you all joining in as well. Like I said in the beginning of the show, for those of you that weren't here, I'm probably going to move from the regular Thursdays, Liberated Lady, if you're still here, probably to either Wednesday or Tuesday. I like Wednesday a little bit because it's in the middle of the week. There's a couple other shows, other people that do YouTube lives on Thursdays, and I like to kind of watch those shows. I know All American Prepper, he does it. Well, I'm not sure if you do yours on Thursdays. I know Tag from Life Done Free, I think, does every once in a while, and Grumpy Acres does his. So I like to watch those shows. So I might start doing them on Wednesdays. Tuesdays or Wednesdays, definitely. I just have to figure out whether it's going to be Tuesday or Wednesday. So stay tuned, everyone. So at any rate, that's it for this show. I appreciate everyone joining in. Take care and prepare. Keep your head on a swivel, all that stuff. And with that, we will talk to you all later.